Grace, mercy, and peace are now yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in today's gospel lesson, Jesus tells one of his many parables, the parable of the mustard seed. It is a very short, tiny, no pun intended, parable. The mustard seed is a tiny seed. In fact, Pastor James has shown this illustration before. I asked him if I could borrow this. This is a tiny mustard seed. Can you see it from your pew? If you can't, this is probably a few hundred mustard seeds, and you still see how small it is. Jesus tells his hearers today that the kingdom of God, he's talking kingdom talk, the kingdom of God is like a tiny mustard seed. It's the smallest of the seeds, and yet, when you plant it and it grows, it turns into one of the greatest, biggest, strongest, most powerful plants, sometimes even trees. So large that critters, varmints, creatures, birds of all kind find shade, habitation, resting, nesting places to gather. All in this or from this little tiny seed. The kingdom of God is like this. Jesus' point is trying to say that although this looks small and worthless, it has great life-giving property, great life-giving power. And likewise, the kingdom of God, which he, Jesus, is the king of, sometimes it looks like it's not very powerful, like it's not very much of anything, and yet it is the most powerful kingdom in the universe, in the history of the universe. Jesus was telling this parable to his hearers on this particular occasion because people were questioning his authority. He had shown some power to some people when he healed people, and then people got excited and started following Jesus. Well, the authorities, the governments of the world don't like it when other people have power and authority because it threatens their power and authority. The religious leaders didn't like it. The Roman rulers didn't like it. They questioned Jesus. And Jesus oftentimes sort of, he gets a question from them and he sort of turns and just talks to the people. My kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's not like those kingdoms of the earth. My kingdom doesn't always look powerful. But it's the most powerful kingdom in the universe. When Jesus stood trial from Pontius Pilate, he said, "Are you a king?" to Jesus. And Jesus says, "You have said as you have said." Yeah, I am a king. But my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, I'd call down my Father and he'd bring a legion of angels to defend me. That's if my kingdom was of this world. But my kingdom's not of this world. Sometimes you can't see its power, but it's always at work. And this is a most important parable for us to hear today. Because since the fall of humanity, humans have sought to gain power and control and security for their life from earthly things. Since the fall into sin, we've sought power and control from earthly things because we've lost our trust in God. As God and as King of the kingdom of God. It began with Adam and Eve, but then really was manifested one generation later when Cain lost his trust in God, as King of his life, and he sought power and gain, and what did he do? He killed his brother Abel. And if you look through the history of the Old Testament, the history of the Old Testament isn't unlike the history of the world. It's a record of human struggle for power and gain. You have David's sons killing each other. You have the kings of Israel killing each other and killing other kings. It's a record of war and tragedy. You look at world history from the rise of Assyria, the first great nation to try to take over the world, to Babylon, to Persia, to the Greco-Roman empires. To the past 100 years, you got Stalin and Hitler and a host of other people trying to take over the world, trying to seek power in earthly measures. Even today, nations rise against nation. Right now we live in a somewhat calm world, at least in our side of the world. You might watch the news and get a little scared, but we live in nothing compared to what people in Syria and parts of Africa live in, where there actually is war and bombs every single day. We turn on the news and we see a great summit taking place between our nation and North Korea. And the issue? Denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. And in the background stands Russia and China and Iran and Japan and a host of countries watching with great interest, because what comes out of this summit could greatly impact the future. Will there be another world war? I don't know. But as human governments and human earthly kingdoms continue to seek power to gain control, history will continue to repeat itself. The sad and tragic reality and result will always be death. Lots of death. It started just with one death. Cain killed his brother Abel. But over the centuries, it is magnified. It is said that in the 1900s, the 20th century, we just ended that century not too long ago, in that 100 years, more people died in war than the previous 1900 years combined. You may not believe that, but if you read Pete Hernan's new book on World War I, Pete is the son-in-law of Irvin Jerry Schulte. He just wrote a book on World War I. I'm reading it now. It will make your stomach churn with the amount of casualties that happened. When the French were fighting the Germans, hundreds of thousands of troops would die in a week. In a week. In one war. Complete civilizations countries were decimated. That's not counting World War II. World War II, where my other grandfathers fought in World War I. World War II, 58,000 Americans died on D-Day in one day. One day. And then we're not talking about Korea and Vietnam, the Gulf Wars. If you add all these casualties up in one century, you throw in Stalin and the millions of people he killed, Hitler and the millions of people he slaughtered. And then you look at the current situation in Syria. We're not really up to date on this stuff, but hundreds of thousands of people have died just in the last couple of years from genocide. You look at the countries in Africa. It can cause a lot of sorrow and a lot of fear. And so it's important for us to hear this parable from Jesus today. Because when you wake up in the morning, you might be filled with sorrow and fear, either from the past, generations we've lost, or looking to the future and wondering what world is your son or daughter or granddaughter going to live in. Jesus reminds us today that no matter what is going on in the world, his kingdom is the most powerful. A lot of times it looks like just a mustard seed, but it is the most powerful kingdom under heaven. And just like a mustard seed doesn't look very powerful, it is always doing its work. Even during the great casualties of war and death, Jesus Christ and his kingdom comes to earth and does amazing things. In the first 300 years since Jesus died and rose from the dead, the Christian church grew faster than it ever grew before. And it grew in spite of having its most blood shed. Peter and Paul and all the disciples were killed for their faith. Tons of people over 300 years were slaughtered. They were fed to the lions and crucified. And the church spread. In fact, the slogan was, "The blood of the martyr is the seed of the church." And there are amazing stories of people who were put in concentration camps in World War I or World War II. And even though they were killed in the body and tortured, they live forever now. Because the kingdom of Christ came to them in the darkest time in their life. And they were taught the gospel in a very tough time in their life. And they received the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. And so the power of the kingdom can go into the darkest and worst places and bring lights and life like we've never imagined before. There are amazing stories from these wars where people were brought to faith through terrible tragedy. And even people who committed terrible crimes repented of their sins and received Jesus' forgiveness and his kingdom. Today, if you were to walk through the entire world, you would find the strongest Christian communities where people lost everything. You will find the strongest Christian communities in Syria and in the war-ridden countries of Africa. Because these people have lost everything, they have gained the gospel, Jesus Christ. And so they have gained actually everything, even the hope of the resurrection of their bodies and the life everlasting and a world without war and fighting and death. Jesus' parable of the mustard seed also reminds us today that we who sit in a church with just a little uncomfortability because our narthex is just a little warm, but we have air conditioning here, we who have not lost everything, we who have driven a church with access to music on our radios, with access to almost anything we want nowadays, with food in our stomach and clothes on our back, with medical attention, we who have not lost everything better be careful when we seek pleasure, power, or anything in the earthly things. Jesus reminds us that the world will fade away. Everything in the world will fade away by death or rust or moth or decay. But his kingdom will last forever. Be careful what you seek. It's okay to work hard. It's okay to climb the corporate ladder and to want to serve your country and to want to serve your country and government. It's okay to do your best in school and get a good job and do your best in the athletic team and make the team and thrive. It's okay to do that, and you should want to use the gifts that God has given you to glorify his name and to serve other people. But be careful about trusting in these things above Jesus. If you go to Syria in certain places, people will never skip church. You go to India in certain places, they will never skip church because Jesus is their king. And they know how much they rely on Jesus. In America, it's easy to skip church. We think we don't need it. We think we don't need the Word of God. Because, well, we believe in Jesus. But we're so comfortable, we will actually skip worshiping and receiving from the King himself. Never let anything get in the way of your relationship with Jesus Christ, the King of the Kingdom of God. His kingdom may look like a mustard seed on one day, but it is the most powerful kingdom in the universe. If you don't believe me, let's look back at history. Sennacherib, the great king of Assyria, his mighty and ruthless kingdom, it's fallen. It stands no longer. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, even greater, he fell too, and his kingdom is no longer. Alexander the Great, the greatest empire then, he only lived to be about 30 years old. He died young, his empire erased from the globe. The Greco-Roman empires, fallen, no longer exist. Hitler and Stalin, fallen, they no longer exist. Every earthly kingdom, every earthly government, corporation, power structure will one day fall and no longer exist. But the kingdom of God will stand forever because God is eternal and because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the King of the Kingdom of God. And the power of the Kingdom of God resides in the small mustard seed of the Word of God. The Word of God which created all things out of nothing. The Word of God which makes life new. And we know this to be true because Jesus did not just speak a parable, but he lived this truth. We know this to be true because Jesus became flesh. The Word is not just a spoken word, it's a life-giving, powerful Word that became flesh. And when Mary held that little baby, Jesus, in her arms, and treasured all these things in her heart, the kingdom of God did not look powerful. But as King Herod conspired to kill that baby, and set a battalion of troops to kill that baby, it had no power to do so. And yet, magi from the east, kings from the east would bring their most expensive treasures and travel a long distance and worship the baby as a king. And as this baby would grow up, he would wow everybody with his wisdom. Even at the age of 12, he would be teaching in the temple the Pharisees and the Sadducees who would one day put him to death. And when Satan himself would stand in front of him and tempt him with the riches of the world and all his satanic kingdom's power, he could not overcome this Son of God. And when Pilate, the Roman governor, working under the great Caesar Tiberius, the greatest power on that, earthly power at that time, working alongside of King Herod Antipas, working alongside the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious leaders, when they stood and declared a death sentence on this Son of God and put nails in his hands and feet and crucified him and a spear in his side just to make sure he was dead, and then put him in a tomb and sealed it and made sure that a Roman battalion was there to guard it. Not even that could hold this little mustard seed. Jesus is the King of the kingdom of God. Jesus and his kingdom bring life where there is no life, where there is nothing but death and darkness. And that's why we worship first and foremost this King, because Jesus is the King. I don't know if you caught it, but in the Old Testament lesson, God says something even crazier than Jesus about the King, his kingdom. Jesus likens his kingdom to a mustard seed. In the Old Testament, to the prophet Ezekiel, he says the kingdom is like if you take an evergreen tree and cut it off, a spruce, and plant it. It reminds me of my kids when they would like take, you know, the clippings from the Christmas tree and they would plant it and make trees. Or when my brother was playing a joke on one of his friends, and he and a buddy of his went out, and it works in Wisconsin. They collected about 20 Christmas trees. We would lay them out at our street when we were done with them, and the trash would pick them up. They picked up about 20 trees and planted them in the deep snow in Wisconsin. In the morning when they woke up, they had a forest. Now, obviously, they didn't actually plant those trees, and the people could laugh and take all those trees and put them where they went. But what God is saying, I can take one of those trees, or even just a clipping of a tree, and plant it on a mountain, and it will grow into the greatest tree where, again, all the living creatures will come and find shade and safety and solace. And how can God say that? Because he is the God of life. At the very beginning, there was nothing. He created all this out of nothing by the power of his word. And so, yeah, he can say, I can take a sprig, a broken twig, and I can plant it on a mountain, and I can make it into the greatest tree. And so you should trust in this God, the God of life, no matter what's going on in your life. Because Jesus is the King, and he came to bring life and bring it to the full. To him be all the glory. Amen.